Do you find yourself captivated by the inexplicable, entranced by enigmas, and tantalized by the unknown? We are Shane and Josh Waters, brothers who will weave you through tales that have mystified us for years. From haunted hotels to inexplicable disappearances, with a gripping narrative, we invite you to join us on a journey into realms of the unexplained. So, armchair detectives, curious minds, and seekers of the strange, it's time to put on your headphones and dim the lights.
Dive into the uncanny world of the Mystery Inc. podcast and prepare for a journey into the unknown that you'll never forget. And remember, some mysteries are better left unsolved, but not unexplored.
When I was a child, I ran for Bims. Been so many towns, so many beds. Now I'm coming down your L'Oreal looks. I was born from worlds deep for your lambs. I'll burn your bones.
In the Prohibition years of Minneapolis, Minnesota, there was an underworld. Gangs of bootleggers, bandits, sluggers, and murderers roamed the streets and conducted their business. One of the most legendary figures of that time was Isidore Blumenfeld, also known as Kid Can. He began as a newsboy and grew into the most notorious gangster Minneapolis has to offer, and either a psychopath or the nicest guy ever, depending on who you ask. Volsteadland explores this world. Join me, Amy, and my co-host Heather as we journey through this era of prohibition, bank robberies, empty promises, and murder.
There we go.
Oh, shit.
There we go.
Something's not right here. Something's not right.
Ghosty Fam, Amy here. Welcome to The Activity Continues, a podcast where three soul friends talk about all things paranormal. Ghosts, hauntings, psychics, movies and TV shows, especially The Dead Files, and other spooky and spooky adjacent things. We also like to interview people in the paranormal community, as well as past Dead Files clients and other interesting people. Sometimes we even tell your stories. I hope you enjoy the show.
Hello. Welcome. Thank you for joining us again. Today we are going to be talking about Controlled, which is from season 7 and is episode 3 on both platforms. It's my little celebration. Ooh. AP will tell us why this is important because she chose this episode. So AP, do you want to tell us a little bit about why you chose it and then whatever we are warning people about today?
Absolutely. Thanks, Megan. It is a super scientific process that I did, which was, what is my favorite number? 21. And what goes into 21? So I looked at our document to see if we had covered season 7, episode 3, because if you multiply those together, you get 21. So that's why we picked it today. I had no idea what it was about, where it was located, what was going on in it. All I knew was that the name was Controlled and it was season 7, episode 3.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Content warning for this is, you know, we've got some horrific things that happen in history. There's racism, lynching, talk of suicide, and we also have a lovely adoption in this episode. As always, check your show notes because we never know what we're going to talk about.
Yeah. I doubt we'll go too far into the horrific lynching.
Probably not.
I'd prefer not to.
No.
I would prefer not to as well.
Yeah.
It was pretty brutal. Housekeeping.
Housekeeping. This would be our last call for ghost stories to be read and played on our live show.
And we want to also announce that our friend, our shaman friend, which I never thought I would be able to say.
I know. I feel so
the shaman.
I'm like
Leah.
A celebrity friend.
I know.
She has a name, you guys.
I know. Leah Marie will be joining us for our live show. She's going to be talking with us for a little bit and telling us what she does and all that, which we already know, but she'll be telling all the people in the room that probably have never heard of us. Although Flip Phone Jody will be there.
Ooh.
I believe UFO Mary
Jody?
Will be there.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I haven't
UFO
seen her
Mary.
In like literal years. I have not seen Flip. Does she still have a flip phone?
Yes, she does. Perfect. She'll show it to everybody. I'm sure she's very proud of it. And then I think Dave's going to be in town too. So I'm bringing at least three friends.
Awesome.
Awesome. Yes.
Do they know we talk about them all the time on the podcast?
I tell them, but they don't listen to our show.
That's hurtful.
Jody always goes, you know, I should listen to that. I'm like, you know, you should.
Especially because you're one of our main characters.
That's right. But yeah, so she'll be there. So then after we chat with Leah for a little bit, then she's going to go off into another spot and do readings for people. Mm-hmm. You can sign up for those. And all of the details and the prices and all that for those will be on our page that we have for the show. I will mention that this live show, sadly, will not include AP. She has family commitments.
Yes,
she had things that have been scheduled for a very long time before this show was scheduled.
My whole fall has been scheduled for a very long time, so
we were just discussing a time to get together and it's like not gonna happen.
I just
wanted to let you know that she probably won't be there. She may pop in at the end or something to say hi or something, but it's gonna be me and Megan running the show. Like old times.
Yep.
So we'll
or
see.
It would probably be, if I got a chance to jump in, it would probably be at the beginning and then leaving.
Okay.
Fingers crossed. I don't know what time things are happening, but at least it's a happy celebration for family commitment stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's good. So, and you know what? And if this goes great, we'll do another one. We'll do another one. Mm-hmm. I would love to do one at the Bird.
Mm-hmm.
Bird.
That is that. I do love the Bird.
That would be fun. So, if this goes well.
Yes. It goes well, is up to our listeners.
Okay, let's stop saying if and just say when. Let's put the positive out there rather than putting.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You're right. Okay.
I'm going to have to send you two both messages that morning and be like, stop saying if. Shut up and just do it. You're going to be fine. You do this every day. You talk. Control the controllables.
Yeah.
You can't control those other things.
Right.
So don't worry about them. Don't let them take up space in your head. It's easier said than done, but you can't control them.
That's true.
I mean, there is such limited space in my head as it is. We can't.
Yes.
Write it down. Write it down. Burn it in a candle. Sage candle, probably.
I still have my sage that shit.
I do too.
Almost out, though. Mine is almost out. I light it all the time.
I don't light candles that often.
Yeah. I light them all the time.
I do, but it's in the bathroom to help keep the people from the portal out.
I'm glad you said the people from the portal because I was going, the smells from the potty? I mean,
no. We got
people
poop
from
free
the
for
potty.
That.
People from the portal poop from the potty.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
So we're going to get down to it. This was AP's choice. Yes. AP is going to run this show, this baby, and she's going to start us off with an overview. Take it away.
Today, we are headed to Estelle Springs in Tennessee and meeting our homeowner / client, Emily. She lives here with her husband, Chris, her 3-year-old's adopted son, and her younger sister, Abby, with her 4-year-old son. Emily and Chris have lived here for 4 years, and I don't recall if they said when exactly this activity really started for them, but she's mostly concerned about her son as it feels like things are targeting the children. Emily shares that there are classic signs, hearing voices, feeling like you're being watched, shadow people, mood swings, and that her husband really seems to be changing. And of course, Steve has to throw in a can't be good for the marriage. So we have a bingo card here, everyone. Emily's biggest concern is her son. And later on, Steve meets Abby, who reiterates that Chris definitely seems different, that the kids are seeing things, and her son describes seeing something like vampires in capes. So makes me think of like Sesame Street with Count Dracula for getting the vampire with cape there.
And the one, and the two,
And then we meet Chris, the husband, who definitely seems dismissive. He acknowledges that something is happening, but since he can't see it, it's not real. He talks about experiences of hearing things, but just assumes it's the cat. During this time, we have the back and forth with Amy. She's being physically attacked by someone or something she claims is a nutty screaming woman who is physical and does creepy stuff. This woman actually punched her in the stomach. Amy then also describes a weird, creepy thing that crawls on all fours and doesn't sound human. Says this sucker is really evil. She can't tell if it's a demon, but says it influences people and says murder, 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 murder about 1,000 times.
That was really funny.
She is concerned that potentially there's a presence of Native American spirits that are not mentally stable. Steve starts his investigation with what might be a questionable call of speaking to the sons of the former homeowner who died in the garage, and the conversation is in the garage. We know it was carbon monoxide poisoning, listed as an accident, talked about as a suicide, but is it potentially a murder? We don't know. Amy talks about the saturation of death in the garage. She feels strangled, a loss of control, and darkness. Next, we hear about Steve digging through old records and coming up with a family with, you guessed it, multiple child deaths in the family. This family had the land from the 1870s to 1920s. And as we speak with a genealogist, we learn about
the pause for that too. That
I was waiting for it. We learn that there was very little about their causes of death. We get only one name out of the four because Tennessee did not require death certificates at the time. But it makes you think, is there something else going on here? And Amy jumps back and sees this violent woman again, but now she's realizing that this woman is trying to protect the children, not attack the children. She's trying to protect them from a living male. So Steve then goes off with the genealogist and we start talking about the cemetery that they're in, which was a for whites only per the landowner at the time.
I love that.
Yep. So we don't really get a lot of information through that whole section. But we do have Amy getting a whole bunch of souls from a bunch of different time periods, and she's very confused as to what's going on. Steve then jumps to a local professor to talk about, of course, a brutal case involving a black man in the 19-teens. He was attacked. He fought back. You can assume what happened. Amy at this point is channeling somebody who feels like they're being tortured and they cannot escape it. Then we jump into the reveal, and Amy states what we rarely hear her say. This was one of the worst investigations I've ever done. That's why we're in the barn in a barn tonight, because there's no way in hell I'm going back to your property. I don't think we've ever heard that from her. As she describes her walk, she describes the woman who is fixated on protecting the children. She's violent, and she does not like the adults in the house, and the clients share their experiences. Amy has the picture come out, so Steve looks at it and goes, turns aptly to Chris and says, oh, this is what this person wants to do to you, apparently. And the woman in the picture, the spirit in the picture, is punching or uppercutting a male in the gut. Then Steve shares a little bit more about the Martin family. This whole area is disjointed because we learn some things that don't feel connected to what we saw in the episode. But supposedly the dead woman is Edna, one of John Martin's surviving three children. Then they start talking about the vampires and hooded figures that the kids see and the shadow figures the adults see. Amy says, yeah, those are Native Americans. They're drawn to people who are predisposed to depression, anxiety, and anger, which apparently is Chris. And they're trying to do damage. They're trying to get Chris to hurt his family, or in the case, be a family annihilator, it sounds like. Hence why Edna is trying to protect the children. Amy gives them some recommendations that start off from, you know, yeah, that's pretty doable, to that's going to be a little bit tougher. So do they follow her instructions? Stay tuned to find out if the activity continues. There was a lot in this episode.
There was a lot.
There was. There really was.
And I don't know about, like, with you guys, did you feel in this episode that, you know, when I think it was Laura we talked with, where she was like, there was more spirits than what they showed in the episode.
Yes.
I think it was Laura. But that's what it felt like. Like, it felt like what Amy was trying to, what she was feeling and saying overall, didn't quite connect back to everybody. Like, what's going, like, we didn't connect that the old man maybe was influenced to take his own life or whatever those sorts of things were. So that was my just overall thought on the whole thing.
Yeah. And maybe it was a case where they talked about it, but again, they cut it.
Yeah.
Very likely.
It's always hard to know because that does happen.
I mean, I thought the reveal was only 15 minutes, guys.
True. They cut down, though, 10 of those minutes.
Very true. Very true.
Yeah.
Who was that? Was it Diane that said it was like, she's like, it was like 2, maybe 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the ones we've heard, they're like, oh, it was 14 hours.
Yes.
You know, we were there till 4 a.m.
Yeah. Ugh,
can't imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds exhausting.
I know.
Absolutely. I do love how Steve has to start us off with a hysterical woman.
Like, yeah.
Thanks, Steve.
And I wrote, well, maybe it's her time of the month.
Yeah. Obviously.
I shouldn't have even added that. We all knew.
Yeah.
Just PMSing.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy woman.
And like, and as soon as Amy gets there, she's like, this person is running at me screaming and she's getting hit and punched. And
that's awful. That was hard.
She literally bent over because she got grabbed in the arm. And
I feel like
she was like, ow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like where she is in the first half of the episode to where she is in the reveal, like you can definitely tell, like when she's got that open channeling aspect, because as Amy, you said like last time, she just gets her facial expressions get so dramatic and twisted almost at times where you're like, is that really her there anymore?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to tell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anything you guys had right off the bat with Emily as we were having the conversation, who seemed like a perfectly normal level-headed woman, who is just concerned about stuff going on?
Maybe she was hysterical because it's attacking her child.
Yes.
Yeah,
think of that.
Yeah
My son got bit today by another toddler and I was super upset, like angry at this toddler. I can't imagine. And describing what, you know, she says he's 4. He wakes up screaming in the night.
3.
He's trembling. Oh, I thought he was 3.
I
thought he was 4.
The nephew is 4.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how do you, yes, I,
mm-hmm.
yeah. No wonder she's hysterical. Quote, yeah. Unquote. Mm-hmm.
Well, and it sounds like she's very frustrated because it doesn't sound like her husband claims later on he's supporting her and stuff. But when she's talking at the beginning, it's not, doesn't seem quite the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't have a lot of notes on that part.
No, there's not a ton at the beginning because there's just, she's so normal. Not saying other people aren't normal, but
she didn't have a book on the coffee table that her father wrote about her experience.
And there wasn't like a bunch of like, and you know, Steve doesn't ever go, you boozing or you taking anything.
Yeah.
You know, she's describing things that we've heard people talk about. She's upset and worried about her child, which also we hear she sleeps with 3 nightlights. I hate it being light in my room. I want it to be dark as
to be
dark.
Fair. I am a little afraid of the dark and I don't like it to be really dark. So I don't 3 is excessive, but like,
well, how big are they? If they're little?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I will say when we took away the baby monitor in Jordan's room, 1, I was upset because I could no longer see if he was kidnapped. But 2, I did like the light that it gave my room. And then it went dark. I had trouble. I'm not going to lie. I had trouble sleeping the first couple of nights.
I'm sure. Because you have that anxiety about him.
Mostly because the dark. And it was
55. I put tape over, like, my fan has a little blue light that tells you, like, which level it's on. I have tape over that to dim the light.
Oh, my gosh.
The light off of my little cable box in my room is too bright for me, too. And I sometimes put stuff over that.
Mm-hmm. I've been there before. But I don't know. In my old age, I get afraid of the dark.
Because you're so old.
I will be 40 in 2 months. Not even a month. 40.
I don't know, Megan. We do have an age limit on this podcast. So
is it 40?
It's only for Megan.
It's only for Megan because I'm a little older than that.
But and I'll be there next year. I don't think of you as being older than me. Like to me, you're like 40.
I don't think so either. I don't know what happened.
You don't look older.
Thank you.
Like you don't look like
I don't know what happened, but
don't act your age is how you stay looking young.
I'm immature. That's what I always tell people. It's because I'm immature.
But I mean, I honestly, you don't look.
It's also because all of us, before all these like fancy regimens for skincare came around, we used St. Ives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We used like
Noxzema.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I miss the smell of Noxzema.
You can still get Noxzema.
You can?
Yeah, I think so.
Megan's going on Amazon right now.
I need Noxzema.
I used to put it on sunburn.
Oh, sure.
Slather it on sunburn.
It just smells like my youth. Like if you were to smell Noxzema, that would unlock a memory that I don't even know exists.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm sure.
But I'm pretty sure that's why like we all look so young is because we took all those old layers of our skin off our face for a long period of time.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many. I still wash my face with whatever I wash my body with in the shower. Mm-hmm. I wash my face with something nicer at night before I go to bed.
Oh, see, I don't even do that.
In the morning, I wash my face. Right now, I'm using Irish Spring. I wash my face with Irish Spring. It's fine.
Yeah.
Deter the deer and rabbits.
The jade rollers that you put in the freezer. I don't
have
those.
One of those. I have a gua sha.
If I did, I would never remember to do it.
No, I would never remember to do it.
Yeah. Back to the nightlight though for a sec.
Yes.
I got something on Temu, however the fuck you supposed to say it.
Temu.
I like Temu.
I'm gonna say Temu.
I like Temu because it's like Team You. Anyway. Yay. But
Team
anyway.
Not the children workers.
I know. The thing is, you're gonna buy those products anyway. If you buy them on Amazon, you're just gonna get them cheaper at Temu. It's the same fucking product. Yeah. Anyway. I bought a solar, I don't remember if that's what they called it.
Nightlight.
It's a nightlight. It's a light that you don't have to put it on. I guess you do have to put it on at night. But it's like a projector, okay? It's a projector. And it comes with a bunch of little discs. Uh-huh. And you can take them out, put them in the projector, and it projects it onto your wall or your ceiling.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And they're all solar system. So it's like the Andromeda.
Oh,
the moon,
God.
A nebula. There's like 15 of these little slides.
I want that.
You should get it.
I'm going to look on Temu.
Cool. I will send you link to the one I got. Temu and me.
So back to the
task at hand.
Back to here. Oh, we have Emily talking with Steve in her son's bedroom. Mm-hmm. She describes seeing a shadow figure and Steve just goes, describe what it looked like.
Oh my God, Steven.
I think it's
like
in the name.
Shadow. A figure.
Figure.
In shadow form.
She's like, it's dark. I could see its head and shoulders. It was solid. I mean,
what
just...
does he want? Well, I think it's about 6'6". Blue
it was
eyes.
Actually silver.
Yeah. And I will say, I feel so bad for her right now because... fear for like your child is like an all-consuming fear. Like you know me, I just had a nightmare the other night that I left Jordan somewhere and I told him to walk home and I drove back like panicking in the dream. Like what was I thinking? I told him to walk home and I saw him just walking down the street and I picked him up and I hugged him. But like the panic you feel.
Was this last night after your car broke down?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, my point is I feel so bad for her because you can tell like she's really going through it.
Okay, so we're sitting in Eli's room looking at stuff and they're standing in front of his closet. And that's like what I recognize is look at all the bright, happy colors behind them. And you know that those are full of like dinosaurs and reptiles and sports and superheroes like Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Things like that. And it's like all these stupid things like to attack the weak and defenseless.
And that's why I said they're just bullies. They're just supernatural bullies.
Yeah.
I totally recognize the piggy bank that's behind when Steve is standing there and there's a piggy bank up there. And I had a purple one that I would throw all my change in through college, like high school and college, all my stuff went in there. So
aww.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
I decorated it too.
I didn't even notice that.
I didn't either.
It was teal, like a light sky, like Robin's egg blue color.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. And then I know
we got a weird accent from Amy. I caught it. For a second, it sounded like she was British, and she said, it's got long legs and arms, but it sounded like she said arms. And I'm like,
it's like got long legs and arms, but it crawls on all four.
Yeah.
Arms.
Yeah. She's describing this weird, weird thing.
Yeah.
Blech.
I don't like it.
Nope. I said, thanks. I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then we go to commercial, and when it comes back from commercial, we get, and Amy grabbed this image of findings on the Dead Files investigation do not constitute evidence of a crime. So these are either things like Steve finds or hears from family, or Amy channels and gets, mm-hmm. because we've had that before where someone's like, I was murdered. And they're like, wait, she was murdered?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So not technically evidence supported at the time, and right. may not be used as evidence if a case were to come about.
But mm-hmm. still makes me go, ooh, true crime.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unsatisfying in this case.
Yeah.
A lot of times it is. Because especially if you're like, oh my God, that sounds like that's, you know, done deal. Mm-hmm. But of course, nothing's going to happen from it because
it's 100 years old.
Yeah.
But in this episode was even worse. Like, I feel like they were really struggling to get some information on things. And it's like,
I felt
why did we spend 8 minutes talking to this
100%
group?
Because mm-hmm. I'm like, normally when they spend time on stuff, like there's a substantial.
We get a little detail or something.
Yeah, after we talked to somebody, I can't remember who it was, after her segment, I said this segment was pointless. Like, we didn't get anything from this segment.
Mm.
We could have left it out, in my opinion. I don't remember who it was, but.
Oh, it was almost all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we do start talking with Abby at this point, and I know she moved in and has recognized problems with Chris and Emily's relationship and Chris a little bit.
Abby is Emily's sister.
Correct. Younger sister. And she lives in the basement, which is, it's a finished basement. So I always think when you think of basement, you think of the unfinished, like creepy stairs that something's going to grab your feet from under.
Like she just has a sleeping bag in cobwebs next to the little corner.
Exactly. Yep.
Her and her son share the sleeping bag.
Mm-hmm.
They throw food down the stairs when they're done eating.
Yeah.
What I did
notice with her is that her eyes kept shifting around the whole time that she was talking with Steve. So and she was talking about feeling like being watched right now. And she said, yeah, like there's someone in the corner and she's constantly looking around. So like there's room for skepticism that you could say, well, she's lying and therefore she's just, you know, trying to not be caught. She could be anxious with the cameras there, or she could just be really uncomfortable that what she's felt before is there. So
I didn't get a lying vibe from her.
Mm-mm.
I felt like she was nervous, whether she was looking at the production crew or, you know, maybe somebody was doing something off, you know, off the side saying talk louder or something like that.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yep.
But I didn't get a lying vibe from her. But she did.
She definitely was
nervous.
Shifty. Yeah.
She was definitely nervous.
Yep. I didn't either. It was just one of those things. It's like, well, like if you wanted to poke holes into a story or anything, that's where you could see. Cause she just could not focus on Steve in that conversation. Yeah. She'd look at him a couple times, but then they talk about like, she's like, I have panic attacks and, you know, then I get sick to my stomach and nauseous. I'm like, that's still panic attack, honey.
Yeah.
Like that's still classified in the same category.
All connected. I used to get it really bad and I would get so sick to my stomach.
Yeah.
I remember sometimes before I'd have to go run the 400 or something or 4x4, I'd get so anxious about having to do well that I would just get it like chest to the top of my stomach.
Yeah. Yuck.
But when I was in swim team and before I race, I had to poop. I'd get the nervous poops.
Yeah. Yep.
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 Oh yeah. So moving on from that.
Sorry, we
go to Amy, who is like,
I just want
to
be part of the conversation.
She's like, these strange creatures. I don't know if they're demons or worse. They attack those who are already depressed. She talks about sleepwalkers, and then that's where she goes, I keep hearing murder, 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 murder. Like she just
she said it like 3,000 times. Murder.
Yes. Yeah. So never a good sign that we have somebody's being influenced and murder. And then they expertly cut to now we meet Chris.
Yeah.
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 Emily's husband.
Yeah. Yes. Emily's husband.
And Amy, I had tagged you in this, but I'm like, you know who he made, what he makes me think of is in Bly Manor.
Mm-hmm.
When you have the ghosts are influencing the children in the mm-hmm. show to do certain things. So they start acting differently. Mm-hmm. Cause I don't know, he seemed off to me. Like he didn't seem, and maybe that was just his aloof dismissiveness, mm-hmm. but he just seemed like he was answering the questions, but he was kind of like shifty about it.
Yeah.
That's how I felt.
I felt like he was a skeptic and was like, yeah. This is all hooey. Yeah.
I felt like I he did was not. Greg.
Yeah.
Like a Greg Jr. Like not right. The level that Greg's at.
Yeah.
But like climbing that ladder towards the Greg level.
Yeah.
See, and I got, and again, this is why we all are able to watch this and see different things. But I felt like he was saying, you know, he's like, well, I believe her, but so it's always the, well, anything mm-hmm. you say before the but, you don't actually believe.
Right.
However, to me, it was like the saying the right things, like knowing the things you needed to say
mm-hmm.
without having any emotion behind it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I had also had a beer by this point as I was watching. So, but that's, yeah, that was the one it just really made me feel like Bly Manor, and like, because we've already been introduced that he may be being influenced.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, the kids were being influenced by their dead uncle who wanted to basically kill the kids so they could get into the kids' bodies to come back.
Spoiler.
Yeah, it came out like 4 years ago.
Yeah,
oh, okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could be.
Yep. And again, we said this earlier, but he's like, well, it's probably the cat, or, you know, I've had experience.
Yeah.
Steve asked him, well, have you had experience? He goes, well, I hear things when nobody's home.
Oh, okay. And then what do you think that is?
I think it's the cat. Oh, your cat's what, 6 pounds?
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on now.
I did think it was funny that once the client thinks it's the pet, mm-hmm. and Steve is like, dude,
come on.
Come on.
It's never the pet, Chris.
Chris. God.
And, you know, we do learn from Chris. I don't know why he always waits to, like, I feel like he usually asks the husband this question, but sometimes it might be the wife if the husband called in. He always asks the person later on, like, well, do you know about anything that's happened on this mm-hmm. property? At least mm-hmm. he didn't ask if there's been
any deaths.
If anybody died.
Anybody die in town? Ever? Nope.
Never.
We're all 700 years old.
That's still like the best line.
Don't look a day over 40.
That was still just my favorite. Like, he's just like, they're standing like next to a cemetery. Anybody die here? Nope.
No, these are just for
Vampire
show,
Town.
Steve.
Vampire Town.
Yeah.
That was the Michigan Lake one, wasn't it?
Like, I think so. The Lake Huron? Oh, yeah, I think so.
Huron. Yep. We have to laugh now because it gets a little sad.
Yeah.
Because we do hear that the previous owner died by suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And just making sure, I know we kind of call it out here, but sometimes we've used the committed, and I know they use it in the language here, but what I remember it's died by, because committing is a crime.
Oh, yeah. I will say one thing I noticed is Chris is like, I get tired a lot. And I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, you have a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
Your sister-in-law and 4-year-old nephew are living with you. Mm-hmm. You work. And your toddler is having some sleeping issues.
Well, and it sounds like from another spot that his niece, like his niece, yes. or his cousin's yeah. daughter has come over. We like yeah. get a little like tidbit of that, but there's no explanation of everything.
They yeah. don't explain it. So, yeah.
But like, come on, don't blame your tiredness on the paranormal, because this is not paranormal. Right. At mm-hmm. least not all paranormal.
Right? No.
That's like me going, God, I have a toddler, but I'm just so tired. I don't
gotta be the ghost.
Like, I'm tired, but I also had my cousin's bachelorette party this past weekend.
Right.
So I slept great last night. But
yeah.
Yeah. I was up later for more nights in a row.
So that part was annoying. Like, come on. Yeah. Let's be a little bit logical here. Which for me to say that, you know, something's wrong. Because I'm usually the first to be like, oh my God, it's a ghost.
It's the only explanation.
It's the only explanation.
You know, just reading through some of this script too, you know, as we kind of look through here with Chris and Steve, and, you know, Chris is like, I'm usually fine when I'm away from the property. It's just when I'm here. It's like, okay. But again, you have some things that maybe drain you. But Steve asks, well, have you had mold or anything like that in the house when you had it inspected? No. Mm-hmm. And Steve says, well, it doesn't sound like you're much of a skeptic. I'm like, are you sure, Steve? Because it sounds
sounds like he is a super skeptic.
Yeah. And Chris goes, I love my family. Do whatever I can to keep them safe. That's why you're here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but see, again, that's where, to me, it feels like he's being puppeted. Like, say these words because these make it look like you care.
Yeah.
I can be totally off. This is just my.
Yeah.
I only watched it once.
I mean, I got a skeptic vibe from him. I'm not going to lie, but I didn't get the dismissal vibe like we've gotten from some other people who get called in. And then we talk to their partners and they're like, I don't fucking know what you're doing here. Like, in not so many words. So I didn't get that from him.
Like,
but
Diane's
I did
husband?
Get. Yes.
Yeah.
But I did get.
Husband.
Husband.
Yeah.
A little bit of the skeptic vibe.
Oh, for sure. The skeptic. Yeah.
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 I'm going to hold my that dismissive something. Something just felt off. But, you know, when you get your hackles up, it's hard for the hackles to come back down.
Yeah. I think he's opposite of me. He realizes something might be going on, but doesn't want to admit it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, I'm a skeptic. I think it was the fucking cat.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of like me, who would be like, somebody would say that was the cat. And I'm like, no,
there's a ghost.
No.
Yeah.
A ghost.
Oh, yeah.
So I think
Megan, I literally watched the cat do it. Yeah, but the ghost told him to. So.
That's right. He's being possessed by
jokes on you.
Obviously, yep. Obviously.
Idiot. Telling me it's not a ghost.
No.
Well, now we jump into part two, which is more of our Steve's investigation and
digging to the archives.
Amy, you gotta explain your first comment here because it is so damn funny.
Well, Steve goes, look, this is a voiceover. Look, I always ask homeowners for leads on history. Half the time, they're useless. And so my note was, real nice, Steve, useless homeowners.
Yeah. Just like it was so spot on that I was cackling
as I
read that.
I know. I commented rude, but I'm like, Steve, come on. Like, can you maybe like tone it in a bit?
Yep.
You don't have to be so Brooklyn. They're useless.
Look, I always ask homeowners for leads on history. Half the time, they're useless.
Useless. Those useless homeowners. Mm-hmm. There's a title.
There we go.
Useless homeowners.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that's it. That's a good one. And just this is kind of where that trigger comes in.
Yeah.
As we'll be discussing with the... Steve is discussing with the family of someone who... And Amy, I know you have the note in here. Like, where did suicide come in? It's because Chris mentioned it. Chris mentioned that he died by suicide, but the coroner's report says accident. So it's one of those, like, the story got told. So I think that was a telephone game because then even the sons, as we get into it, you know.
But
Steve's,
I mean,
like,
the story does sound like a suicide.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. So I don't know why.
I don't know why it says accident.
Unless somebody, I don't know. And my note in here was Steve is meeting with the two sons of the former homeowner in the garage that he died in.
Yeah.
And I was like, seriously, was there not a better place that they could have done this?
Yeah.
Because
anywhere.
And even like the way that he was like, I know this is a touchy subject. Your dad passed away right here in this garage. Before we get to that, what kind of man was your father? Like, there was so much. And I get that this wasn't that long ago.
No. Mm-hmm.
Somebody could have written this a little bit better. Like, I'm so sorry for the loss of your father. There's never an easy way to discuss a loved one's passing, but could you tell us a little bit more about him?
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that. Or I appreciate you guys being here because their dad died in 2011 at 86.
Mm-hmm.
This came out in what, 2016?
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking less than 5 years from when their dad passed away that they're now sitting in the garage that he died in.
Yeah.
I will say later in the interview, one of the sons, they mentioned he did not get along with his father.
Probably there was not a lot of love lost.
Right.
No, but still.
But still.
I know. I'm just saying maybe that's the reason. Yeah. I don't know.
I think it's all for production and they just could have done a better job with this.
Yeah. They could have.
Yep. So, and you've noted, Amy noted that one of the sons has also passed away. At least since this episode came out.
I was doing a little digging on the family and the house and stuff. And Kevin is the one.
Yeah, I think so.
Who passed away in
2019. Yep.
I couldn't find his actual obit. I found the kind of obit that sometimes they put out on a website for the funeral home or something, and then people can go in and write stuff about him.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't say anything about his surviving people or what he died of or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I don't have any more information on that. There's just that he passed away.
I don't know. This whole section was just like, so the dad, carbon monoxide poisoning from a running lawnmower in a closed garage.
Mm-hmm.
You would think, again, to your point, Amy, with it saying like the rumors of suicide, but the definition of accident, but the sons believed potentially murdered
or killed
somewhere else and then put in the garage. But carbon monoxide poisoning, CO, does specific things to your body a little bit. That's why they can tell like there was carbon monoxide poisoning.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, that's why I'm like, well, could they have just kind of knocked him out and put him in the garage with the running lawnmower, because apparently it was still running when he was found.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, we're talking about potentially two women that were living in the house. This is so weird. Like, it was so jumbled and we got so little information.
It was so hard to follow.
Yeah. Like, so the dad's wife, the mom, obviously, Barbara, she passed. And then within 2 weeks, what did he say?
Yes.
There were two 30-year-old women living there with dad.
Yeah, women in their 30s.
Women in their 30s.
And we know nothing about who they were, what they did, how he met them, where they came from. We just get the side of the story, which is probably plausible, that they fleeced him out of everything.
Yeah.
Because they say he pawned everything he had.
He took all his money.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's at that point then that leads into the, did he die by suicide because he was embarrassed and he was, you know, at wit's end or those sorts of things? Did they kill him to get anything else that he would have had?
Right.
Or was it truly an accident?
Yeah. It seems like a weird accident.
It seems like a weird accident if you go to turn on your lawnmower. I'm guessing, I feel like riding lawnmower is my guess.
It would have to be. It would have to be.
So, you know, like, and that's where I'm like,
because I feel like a small lawnmower would not put off enough carbon monoxide to kill him. It would have to be a riding.
Okay. I was picturing a
lawnmower. Yeah. See, I was picturing, you know, a riding lawnmower and the green one, but I won't say their name because they don't like.
Yeah.
That's what I'm picturing. But then I'm like, okay, but if you're going in and getting your lawnmower out, your garage door is open.
Right.
Yeah. Because you're taking it out. Because
you go, you're not going to take it out the side door.
But then that's where, like, I could see, too, if he was sitting on it and he fell and hit his head or something, too, that they could say, oh, he, you know, hit his head here. Could that have been something like, did they knock him out and bring him? Like,
that would have been on the autopsy report, though.
You would think.
There's too many holes in the story.
Yeah.
I mean,
something's not adding up.
Yeah.
I'm no mathematics, but.
Yes.
Yeah.
It, 2 + 2 is not equal in 4 here.
Yep.
No.
And this isn't the first person that died in the house or on the property. Their mother, so the two sons that are in the house with them, who are in their 60s.
I would say 60s. They're older gentlemen.
Yeah. Both very, you know, bright, nice white hair.
Mm-hmm.
Their mother had passed away, you know, previously in the house. I think they said 2007.
I thought it was 2002.
So I thought it was 2002 as well, but they moved into the house in 92. So I think that's where I got my mix up.
Oh,
Okay. Let me see. I will note there are two garages as well. There's an attached garage that's part of the house, and then there's an outbuilding. But I assume that it was the house, the one that they were, that was the one that was attached to the house. I don't know that for sure, but
okay. The transcript does say 2002 for when she died.
Okay.
Oh, does it? Okay.
Yeah.
But they say 2007 later on or something. Anywho.
I could not find anything about her death.
No. Just that she had a brain tumor.
Either.
She had a brain tumor. And yeah, I tried looking up his too, and I couldn't find anything.
I didn't at first, but then I went back and I found that he died July 18th, 2011. And then they put the house for sale.
Because they would have bought it
in 2011.
2011.
Yep. And I noted that was when the man died in the house. And then, yeah, they sold. He passed in. They sold. Okay. The brothers, the sons, sold the house in December of 2011.
Okay.
And so that must be when this family bought it.
Yep. That makes sense. So, yeah, we're just one of those that we just don't get a lot of information about anything. We get a lot of speculation, but no details. There was no details about, like, who were these women? Why did they move in? All they just said is, and obviously they were estranged from their dad a little bit because
they both said that.
They were, you know, that trying to make somebody proud and you never get told that you were proud, that they were proud of you. So
that made me sad. It's sad that men, especially of that age, have to deal with that kind of never being able to please their father, and they try all their lives and it never happens.
He said that's why he joined the military, to try to please him.
I assume dad was military,
probably.
We move on from a very unfulfilling story, to, you know, that's where Amy says that she's in the garage and she just feels saturated with dread, basically. Like, it's, there's death and darkness all around her. And now we swing over to meeting Catherine Hopkins, who's a genealogist, and they're meeting at a cemetery because that's where everybody wants to go. And this one, like, my side note on this, and so we are talking about a family that I feel like they always find a family that had like 8 kids and 5 of them died.
Yeah.
So that's, in this case, they had 4 kids, 7 of them died, but...
No, 7 kids, 4 of them died.
Yeah, thank you. I was already going on to my next point. Which obviously is very sad, but we also have to think about the time frame that we're in, that making it out of childhood prior to the last 50 years even was pretty impressive.
And that's why they had so many kids.
And it wasn't just farm families that had this many kids. And, you know, it's, it kind of gives off that, like, we'll just have another one, you know, the replacement vibe kind of thing.
Yeah. Well,
I don't mean that, but that's kind of how it comes across. We've talked about this before, but it's just a reminder as to, it's not because people only live to age 35 or 40. It's because the death age in child, or the deaths in child, were so rampant that the average lifespan technically was always lower because you had so many that died so young compared to how many got to 70 or 80. So that's all throughout history. Like, when we got taught that people only lived to like 40. That's why you got married at 12, right? That's not quite accurate. So anyways, that's just my side note on this fact. But we talk about John Graves Martin, who owns this land from 1875 to 1927. And we literally learned nothing.
Nothing.
We learned nothing. Like,
we learned their name and that they had 4 kids die. That's about it.
His name.
Yeah, I mean the family name, Martin. Yeah. But that's all we know, essentially.
We know that by 1900, he lost 2 children. And by 1910, he lost 2 more children. And we only learned 1 daughter's name, who was Era, and she passed away before 1910. But didn't have to do death records or anything, but which also they didn't have birth records or anything, which makes me think about, like, I don't know if you guys have listened to Generally Spooky podcasts at all, but they always talk about, oh, if you don't have a penis, nobody gets to know about who you are. So there's just like a line in history of like Rebecca married to so-and-so. And that's how you get remembered. But that's, we get nothing. We get nothing about how they died. We get nothing about, we don't even get anything hardly about the 3 that survived, other than They grew lived up in Tennessee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is the section where I was like, we didn't get much from this particular portion of this mm-hmm. interview mm-hmm. because I wasn't sure if we'd get more from her later. But like, mm-hmm. this was just a time filler, in my opinion.
Yep.
Nothing. Well, we don't talk about it in the reveal, really.
The only thing that it connects to is because they jump to Amy, who's talking about the violent woman again.
Yeah.
And she says she sees her at two ages. She shows young. Mm-hmm. Where she's like in the 18, anywhere from 1870s to 1920s, which ding, ding, ding on the nose. And mm-hmm. then she sees this woman as an old lady, which is more recent. And mm-hmm. She has something against her father. And this is, you know, there's something, she's talking about her father being a good man, but then her whole family got, and it's bleeped, but he was a good man and the whole family got fucked. Like, yeah. That's what it was. And that's it. And so then she's focused on something. She's focused on a vendetta. She's fixated on the children, but she's protecting the children from the living male in the house, which then, like, I put in here is like, does this mean, like, if she, you know, she talks about her dad and being, he was a good man, but the whole family got screwed over, basically. And then she's very upset about this living, like, did her dad kill some of these kids? Like, did yeah. something happen? Did he sell them off? Because that is also a thing that happened during that mm-hmm. time. And maybe they didn't die. They just were listed that way. I don't know. Like, I know I recently learned my grandpa, he's this first oldest of the second family of his dad. And his dad left when his first wife died, left his older boys with their aunt and uncle and moved away. And wow. just like, they're yours now. And even when my grandpa was a little bit older, like, they went off to go live with somebody else for a little bit because they had four boys. And so you go do something else. It was just, I know it's a very wow. different time, but
yeah,
shit like that happened. So I don't know. Something just seemed, which we never find out again. We don't ever learn what happened here. All we know is that eventually he deeded his land, or he sold his land to the city for like $30, which makes it sound like it wasn't very much. Amy looked up, it's under $1,200
yeah.
today.
$1,123.36.
Yep. And that's really cheap. Because that's not just like an acre. That was more, we didn't even hear how much acreage it was.
Wasn't it 560? Why 560. Do I have that?
But was it the whole? He didn't say if he sold the whole cemetery.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, he couldn't have because the yeah. client's house is on that property.
Yeah, so he sold the like family cemetery that was a part of the farm. Excuse me. And yeah.
But this is where we get that really fun stipulation that he put in the deed when he yeah. sold it to the city.
For whites yeah. only.
Yeah, only whites could be buried there, which is yep. just great.
Mm-hmm.
Love that for him.
So then would also mean, like, skipping over the whole racism part.
Yeah. There's enough of that. Doesn't, we don't need yeah. to talk about it.
Doesn't that also mean that the cemetery should be pretty close to this family's property?
Yeah, it is.
Because I mean, they don't talk about that at all either.
Well, yeah, I think he does. Doesn't he say this is right near their, this is really close to my client's property?
Well, I mean, with the clients, they don't seem to mention yeah, being yeah, yeah. near a cemetery or anything.
No. No. Yeah. And I did look up the cemetery and I didn't know that where the house was at the time. And mm-hmm. I didn't see a house nearby, but then I did find the house, but then I forgot to look at it and see how close it is to the cemetery.
And this is where we get told also there's 860 burials here. So I don't know if that means that there's 860 people buried there or if there was just that many ceremonies.
Maybe they're doing them in groups. Like a twofer.
Just like a throw the family in.
Yeah.
I think that it means how many people are buried there because you wouldn't have yeah. a ceremony if you weren't going to put the body there, right?
Well, we've had cases where body was never found.
But why would you have the ceremony at the cemetery when you're not going to bury a body there?
Because people still buried a box for them. Or you have, you know, like three that maybe died at the same time. And I don't know. Mm. It was, for me, it was odd having the word burial, 860 burials there. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just, it didn't click for me. I yeah. know it's the right word probably, but.
Thank you for listening. The activity continues. We'll be back after this short break. Hi, friends. Do us and yourselves a favor and check out our affiliate, Three Spirit Drinks. They create plant-based, non-alcoholic elixirs that are cruelty-free and vegan, and they are designed to give you some of the benefits of alcohol without the hangover and other side effects. If you're looking to cut down on alcohol but still want the buzz, check them out. The link is us.threespiritdrinks.com and use the promo code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES for 15% off your entire order. Unleash the power of stories anywhere, anytime with Audible. Immerse yourself in gripping stories, insightful knowledge, and captivating characters anytime, anywhere. Audible is your library on the go. With hundreds of thousands of titles across every genre, there's a world of reading waiting for your ears. Listen while you cook, clean, or commute. Free your eyes to conquer your day, all while feeding your mind. Start your 30-day free trial today and discover the joy of listening. Go to audibletrial.com/TAC. That stands for The Activity Continues. With your free 30-day trial, you get one credit, two credits if you're a Prime member, good for any premium selection titles you like, yours to keep. You get the Audible Plus catalog of podcasts, audiobooks, guided wellness, and Audible originals. Listen all you want, no credits needed. Again, that is audibletrial.com/TAC.
Anyways. We cut to Amy and she's like, there's a lot of dead restless souls and they're from all over the time frame. And she's just like, something's not right here. Something is weird.
Something's not right.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, we hear with Steve, we go to talk about a brutal case. And
this is one case where it is extremely brutal.
This is brutal.
Yeah,
I'm not even going to
we're not going to go through.
This is brutal.
Yeah, this is February 8th of 1918. Jim McHarren was
McHelleran, I think is the way he said it. Matt, wait,
it sounds like Heron.
It is Heron. It's McIlheron. McHelleran.
Anyways, I'm not going to try and pronounce it.
That Jim.
Anyway, mm-hmm. The closed captions thought it was mackerel herring.
Lovely. Yeah.
Like he's a fish.
Yeah. No.
But he's a bird instead. So 1918, we're at the height of World War One is happening.
Yeah,
because
it's
that
just
doesn't
come into a close.
Not for another 8 months. Doesn't come close till November.
Yeah, but it's close for 4 years. We're in the home stretch.
But he's a black man. He's walking down a street, gets attacked by three white men. However, he is an expert marksman and he defends himself and he shoots back and he shoots six shots, kills two of them and badly injures another. So, of course, that doesn't go well. He tries to flee. They catch up to him. They drag him back. There was a crowd of 1,500 waiting for them at the train station or whatever when they brought him back, and they tortured him before they killed him.
Yeah, really bad.
So that's as much as we're going to go into.
And they show a picture, not of that lynching.
Yep.
The guy says this is not this lynching, but here's a picture of something that happened like this.
Mm-hmm.
And they show it and they zoom in really close. I did not take a screenshot of it. I will not be in our socials.
Disgusting.
It was hideous.
Yep. They also displayed parts of his.
Yeah.
They took parts of his body.
Yeah.
To
people were
mobile stores. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Sick.
Yeah. So, yep. And this is 100 years ago. And why does it feel like we're not that far removed from this?
I know.
Because we're not.
Of course, nobody was convicted of anything because obviously they didn't actually do anything. So I just said incels, bigots, and racist. Oh my.
And I said great phrasing.
Yep. And Amy channels, you can tell she's being tortured in this channeling of whoever this is. Mm-hmm. She yells that they cut the Achilles, which would make it so somebody couldn't run away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to jump to the reveal.
Yeah.
So, because that's just awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Reveal. We are in a barn that is not on the property because, as I mentioned in the overview, Amy said, this is one of the worst investigations I've ever done. So therefore, I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do it there. I'm not going back.
Yeah.
Amy's like, yeah, no way. Mm-mm. I said, those are some damn strong words because she's seen a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She talks about the overwhelming feelings of death and darkness, that people can be, you know, everything that she said already, people could be influenced. And Steve's like, Chris is a skeptic. Yeah, I'm a see it to believe it kind of person. He said, oh, Greg?
Yeah.
Yep. Even Greg's, if he sees it, he won't believe it.
No, that's why I was like, it's a step up on Greg.
Greg.
This is where the 2007 comes around because Steve says that she died in the, we go into Steve talking about the previous mm-hmm. family, the Dawsons, and he's like, oh, she died in 2007, but we heard 2002 earlier.
Yeah.
She had been sick. And then he talks about the husband and everything that was going on. And Emily asks a great question. So can the garage affect someone's personality?
Mm-hmm.
And Amy says, yep. And Chris kind of says what's going on. But Amy just is like, yeah, I mean, like, that's great. But you have somebody else you need to be more concerned about right now. And it's the dead woman who is screaming like and freaking out, charging, punching. She's fixated on the children, but to protect them. And she doesn't like the living adults, which is difficult because the living adults are also trying to protect the kids.
Yeah, yeah. If we would just communicate, then we would know.
There's nothing new that we learn through here. Emily kind of shares kind of what's going on. Amy's like, yeah, this woman's crazy. She's mean. She also has it out for the living male, basically. And she has a sketch done. And this exchange to me is so funny from Steve because he's like, well, this is apparently what she wants to do to you. And he's like, so she just wants to take me out? Yeah. Amy just replies, yeah.
Yeah.
I actually really love this sketch. I do too.
I was just thinking that.
It's really cool art. It reminds me of like 1950s or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It looks like a comic book villain.
Mm-hmm. The woman in the spirit in this makes me think of like a cross between Ursula and Medusa.
Yeah, yeah. I could totally see
because
that.
Because there's just shadows at her legs that look like the tentacles of Ursula, and her hair, the way it's coming down, it's in those kind of tight curls that come down. Mm-hmm. It looks like snakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
it was neat. It was a neat sketch.
Yeah.
And she's just uppercutting the guy. Yeah. And
right in the stomach.
Yep. And
he even drew it where it impacted him.
Yeah.
Like you can see lines come. It was this artist.
And there's not
very
extra
talented.
There's not extra fingers like in AI.
Yeah.
And then Steve is like, Chris, did you think you'd be the target here tonight when we shut everything down? And he's like, no, I'm just here to support her.
Are you really though?
And then Steve, again with the, I don't. So do you have any idea who this crazy old bat is?
Yeah.
Cool.
And maybe Steve, think about what happened to this person in life to put them this way in death.
Yeah.
And that's why
people don't act like this in death out of for funsies.
Right.
So
most people.
And in here, Amy gives us a little bit more concise, like this woman is probably from the 1870s to 1920, but she also shows me as being, when she's older, she's more recent. She's obsessed with her father saying he was a good man, but the family got screwed and she wants to protect the children. And it's extremely important to keep them alive, which is, again, one of those things like, if she lost 4 siblings, no matter mm-hmm. how it is that they were lost, obviously she feels that there's something that she has to do to protect other children in her life. And we don't even know if she had children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe the fear of seeing her siblings die kept her from having kids.
Or get handed off as, you know, I don't know. I'm going to keep throwing that theory out there because we have no records. We truly don't know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They could have been abducted by aliens for all we
exactly. know. Exactly. Steve talks about John Graves Martin and that he lost children. But, you know, he had three kids that survived and two of them were daughters. This is the first time we've heard anything more than three children survived.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And supposedly it makes sense that this is Edna Martin, who died in 1985 and died in 1985. I caught myself and I came back. Yeah. 1895 and then died in 1986.
This is the first time we've ever heard a name at all. Yes, other than yeah. Era, the one who passed away. And he's like, mm-hmm. You told me sounds like Edna Martin. You have not mentioned an Edna Martin one time.
No. And he probably cut it. Did and it was cut.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's like, this is where it's so weird. Cause I just, sure, it's her, but is it?
Right.
And Amy's like, yeah, I guess it feels like her. And she, you know, she punched me. She's warning. She wants everybody to leave. She talks about all these other things. Oh, they started talking about the vampire things, which that comes back to that small little blurb that we heard about the mentally unstable,
mm-hmm.
potentially Native American spirits that were there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what she equates is probably that vampire like stuff that the kids see. Again, not a lot is brought to us except that. We kind of circle back to Chris. Like Chris is like the thread throughout this whole thing because everything is connecting to him and it's threatening him. It's making him more dangerous. Amy's like, yeah, whatever this stuff is, it wants to influence you to kill your whole family.
Really? Don't sugarcoat that, Amy. Just drop the bomb.
Well, I think she was trying to keep it away and Steve kept being like, so let me get this straight. It wants mm-hmm. him to kill the family. Yeah.
I just fucking said that.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. I also found it interesting. This is one of the few times I've ever heard Steve say, well, that's why I almost didn't have you here tonight, Chris, because you're a skeptic. I'm like, he makes that decision?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I found that odd.
Yeah.
Maybe he does. I mean, he's listed as an executive producer.
Yeah. Could be. Yeah, so there's a few things that the family has to do. We get to, you know, okay, so what do they have to do here, Amy, so that they can all stay here and live here and actually live and not die. Amy gives them just a few things that they have to do, and it's, you know, it ranges. So the first thing she says is the garage needs to be cleansed to remove the negative residual energy. Cool, that seems easy, right?
Yeah.
Then after that, she wants Edna gone. So they need to find a male medium with an authoritative presence to help her move on. But it could take a couple of visits because she's wicked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Doable. Now is the tricky part. They need a team of people to come in. They need a Cherokee Native American medicine person or shaman to perform a clearing and removal ritual at the same time. And a religious person, like a priest, to do an exorcism of the land, the house, and of Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll know within a week if it's been successful or not. So we range from like, yeah, that's not too hard to do, to
you need a ton of people and not even guaranteed to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then Emily's like, so what if we do all this and it doesn't work? Amy's like, get out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's, you have to leave.
She's like, she said to Chris, you'll end up killing your family.
Mm-hmm.
That's what will happen.
Yep. And then who put in the Yoda?
Me. Steve goes, are you going to do this thing or are you going to say BS on it? And Chris goes, I'm willing to try. And Steve says, no, it's not willing to try. It's either you do it or you're not. There's no in between here.
Nice.
And so I put in the Yoda meme that says, do or do not. There is no try.
Yeah. And he's like, I mean, if it'll make me feel better.
Yeah.
And Steve's like, you're an idiot. This is like, you're going to have to get the exorcism.
Yeah.
He's got like a smirk on his face.
Yeah. He doesn't believe it.
He's got a grin and stuff. And so, which ties back to how, like, reinforce how I felt earlier about him. But I was just like, get him, Steve. This guy just keeps laughing. Like, he's really just kind of blowing it off almost.
Yeah. It's rare for Steve, I feel like, to go after clients like this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, usually in the reveal, he kind of sits back and lets Amy take the lead.
Mm-hmm.
So for him to do this, like, I feel like this guy's really pushing his buttons.
Yeah.
Steve will go after him in the interview process and like call out their bullshit, but he rarely does it in the final reveal.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, at the end here, Emily's like, obviously we're going to do it. And Chris is like, it's crazy to me to think that this is happening to me. It's just hard to say no when everything you said is so right.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Okay, buddy. Sure.
And
this is a weird update. Like, I was not expecting this.
I wasn't either.
Emily and Chris decided not to stay in the house. So they listed the house in must have been like February or March of 16.
Yeah, it was. Let me find my other document here.
And then it said they moved back to New York.
I don't know where they moved to. It didn't say that, did it?
No, it just said
they
New
didn't
York.
Stay here. I don't remember seeing anything about New York, but it did. Was that a different slide at the end?
Yeah.
Oh,
yep. It, I only had a different slide. It said New York.
I didn't see it. I just only one I saw was what was in there.
Mm-hmm.
But they sold the house. They put it up for sale in February of 2016, and this came out in August. So that's sounds about right from when the filming would have ended, and then. It sold March 29th of 2016.
Yeah.
That was, it was a good one though. It was wild. It was all over the place.
It left you wanting so much more information.
I would like to find these clients.
Mm-hmm.
See what's going down with them. And I wonder what happened to Abby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because she moved there, she said, to start a better life with her kid, which tells me there was an end of a relationship that she was trying to get away from. Where did she have to go? You know? Mm-hmm.
Maybe she went back with them.
Maybe she went. Yeah, I hope she didn't go back. If it's...
I love how you guys both said that. And to be clear, like
I was saying that she went with her sister.
Yeah,
that's
what Megan said too.
Oh, I thought you said went back to him.
No, went with him.
Okay. Went with him. No, and like I said, to be clear, my take on Chris is that he was being influenced the whole time. That it wasn't actually him. That's why I have said the things that I have said, but.
Yeah.
You know, he was in the house and that's where he said things happened. So,
yep.
All right. Shall we wrap it
cool.
up?
Yep.
So I can
Let's
go see my kiddo.
Wrap it up. Wrap
it up.
Okay. So, thanks for joining us, everybody. Next week, we will be releasing our live show.
Woo woo.
Otherwise, it'll be a sideshow episode number 14 where we talk about
who knows
our live
yet.
Show. But I think we're gonna release it anyway. So it's going to be a blast. And so you will be able to watch it live at the time, if you choose, on Facebook. And I think Twitch we can do it on. I'm not sure about Instagram yet. That's going to have to be done separately because the software that I have does not speak to Instagram. So that's another thing. It'll be live somewhere. Facebook, at least, for sure. And then we will, you know, take it, edit it, and make us look pretty, and then we'll release it. We'll release it that following week. So
woohoo!
That's what we're gonna be doing. So
send us in stories that you want us to read. We can read them anonymously and give you really fun names.
Yeah,
like Celine Dion.
That's right.
When I do at work, when I'm talking about hypothetically things, all the people I give offers to are Celine Dion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The earlier or last week, I went Luther Vandross, and I'm like, where the fuck did that come from?
That's an old name.
That I don't even know any of his songs.
I don't either.
Wow. No.
Funny. I know. Okay. Anyway.
All right. Well, happy spooky season, everybody.
Happy
we hope you're having a
spooky
great...
season.
Scoopy.
Scoopy
season.
I scoop chips in my mouth.
Oh, that's what I want. I didn't have dinner tonight because I didn't feel well. It was time to eat. Anyway, so thank you, everybody. And
thank you.
We'll see you at the live show.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the activity continues.
Nailed it.
If you're a regular listener, you know we love our three spirit drinks.
They are the non-alcoholic spirit drinks that are taking the world by storm.
Three Spirit is a range of three distinct drinks, each with its own unique flavor and effect.
The Livener is a refreshing and invigorating drink that is perfect for starting your day or night.
The Social Elixir is a smooth and sophisticated drink that's perfect for sharing with friends.
And the Nightcap is a calming and relaxing drink that's perfect for winding down before bed.
All three drinks are made with plant-based ingredients and are free from alcohol, gluten, and sugar. They are also vegan and ethically sourced.
So, whether you're looking for a delicious and refreshing drink to enjoy on its own, or a sophisticated non-alcoholic alternative to cocktails, Three Spirit is the perfect choice for you.
Try Three Spirit today and discover the difference. Visit us.threespiritdrinks.com and use the promo code TheActivityContinues for 15% off your entire order.
Cheers!
That one was the best one yet.